Through this homily this morning, I want us to open the doors to Holy Communion. And as we're listening to Jesus' words that I'll interpret for you this morning in Scripture in this homily, let us be allowing our minds to guide us to the holy place that we will be in just a moment. Recently, in various places around the world, there's been a flurry of court cases involving Christians who have been asked to remove their Christian jewelry from their work clothes, maybe a lapel pin, maybe a cross around the neck. And usually what's involved is a pin or a cross or something similar that doesn't fit with what the uniform is required, what's required of the uniform. The cases seem to develop around a similar way. The employer, at least in one case that I know of, was an airline. Says that the wearing of these pins or these crosses breaks up the uniformity of what they're wearing. In some cases, it involves a chain around the neck where it's not safe to wear. So the Christian employees, you know how we love to be persecuted as Christians, even when we're not, respond by claiming that their religious rights are being trampled on, and so the issue goes to court. And 9 times out of 10, the issue that the court eventually considers is this one. Is the wearing of a cross around the neck or a pin a religious requirement of Christianity? That's a good question. If you can't wear it, are you somehow not practicing your Christian faith? You know, there's a giant cross on I-65 in front of a church. It's a big freestanding cross. Those of you who travel on Interstate 65 see it. It takes over the whole landscape of when you're driving by. It may be the biggest cross of its kind in the world. And it tells thousands of people who travel there every day that there is a church attached to this cross. There are Christians who worship in this place. Perhaps maybe the bigger the cross, the better the Christian, I don't know. Do not hear me saying something I'm not saying this morning. I think the wearing of a cross or other Christian symbols is a wonderful way to express our personal piety and the person to whom we've given our lives. I think it's a lovely symbol that reminds us that God is with us always. During my Jesus freak years, I had and still have a leather cross that I wore. It's got a dove carved on it and it's painted out in white, and I love that cross. I thought it was pretty cool then, but when I became a man, I put away my childish things. But I'm starting to think I want to wear that cross again. The reason I want to wear it is not necessarily to prove or disprove my faith, but it's nostalgic for me to wear that cross. But I don't have to wear that cross to prove to you or anyone else that I am a Christian. I don't think wearing a cross is in any way fundamental to my identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. And this all brings me to our gospel lesson this morning. It's the night before Jesus' death. Jesus and his disciples are gathered in a room upstairs somewhere in Jerusalem. Their stomachs are still full and their feet are still wet from Jesus feeding them and washing their feet. Just minutes earlier, Jesus whispered something to Judas, causing him to jump up and rush out of the room, slamming the door as he left. Disciples didn't know it yet, but Judas had just left to blow the whistle on the whole Messiah thing and to bring the authorities to Jesus. Jesus is telling his disciples that he's leaving them. You and I both know that saying goodbyes are almost always difficult. Well, sometimes they're welcomed, but generally always difficult. He's saying to them, I'm going away, and worse than that, you can't come with me. You followed me around for 3 years. We've had good times and bad times, tough times and miraculous times, but this time you cannot go with me. This has to be one of the saddest moments in all of Scripture. Because so many people know this moment. These are the words of a parent leaving to go to Afghanistan. Honey, Mama has to leave now, and you can't go with me. These are the words of a spouse in the end stages of a terminal cancer. My love, I have to go away, and you have to stay here. Disciples are hearing Jesus say, my friends, I'm leaving. You can't go. You can't go with me. It's at this moment, this tender, emotional moment, that Jesus gives his final line in his farewell speech. Something that will hold these men together when he is gone. Something that will hold them in the position that Jesus asked them to be in. This is what he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You also should love one another. And here's his clincher on his final line. By this love, everyone will know that you are my followers if you love one another. He didn't ask them to wear a cross. He didn't ask them to wear a fish pin. He didn't ask them to recite the Apostles' Creed or to say the Lord's Prayer from memory or even talk Scripture. He says, people will know you are my followers by this thing if you love one another. This is how we will be identified today, a believer, a Christian, a Bible-believing, born-again, washed in the blood, thank you, Jesus, Christian, if we love one another. It's not a symbol. It's true. It's real. We are identified by this love. You know what it is, if Jesus had looked far ahead into our year 2014 to see what Christianity has become, how it's gotten twisted, how it's gotten turned around in our world. It's not the buildings. It's not the crosses or our orthodoxy. It's not what we say we believe about the Bible or salvation or heaven or hell. It's not our correct doctrine, and it's not how wrong the other guy is. It's not that we stand on the portico and read the Word through a microphone for everyone to hear for 3 days, as lovely as that is. By this, they will know that you are mine, if you love. You know where that love is? It's right here. It's in our hearts. This is where the proof is that we are followers of Jesus. Right here, where we love God and where we feel God's love. Right here in our hearts. It's right here in our hearts. It's what comes from here that decides if we are followers of the Christ or not. It's what comes from right here, Jesus tells us, that demonstrates that we take Christianity seriously and not just make it a religion. It's what's right here, the command to love, that holds this congregation together. People will know you are mine if you love. It's what's right here before us in Holy Communion, that because of what's here, we get to share in the love of Christ. It's not how shiny or new or good we feel about our faith. It's the love we have for God and for one another. Is it any wonder in our culture today that people ask us all the time, are you really a Christian? When they see the Church of Jesus Christ commanded to be held together by love, separating itself out into factions and fighting and ugliness and meanness in our world. When people see the followers of Christ excluding others for whatever reason and including certain people for some reasons, isn't it any wonder they wonder, are we really followers of Christ? When it's the Christians that are the most gung-ho about killing our enemies and going to war, is it any wonder that people say, are they truly Christian? Jesus did not tell us to believe a certain way, to act a certain way, other than to love one another. May it be so in our culture. May it be so in our church. May it be so in our personal lives. Amen.